adults, if you need a Bible, please put up your hand. One of our welcome team will bring one over to you. We're going to be reading from Philippians 2, verse 19. That's on page 1179 of the church Bibles. But boys and girls, I want you to be looking up at the screen. I'll be looking up there as well. Maybe some of your leaders would help you follow along as I read. Let me read. A man called Paul is writing, and he says this: I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. That's our Bible reading this morning. Boys and girls, you sitting up straight? Your ears wide open? Is your brain wound up, as Johnny would say? Ready to listen? Yeah, are you sure? Okay, excellent. Are you sure? Great, great. Now, I've got a question for you, boys and girls. What kind of words describe what makes a good mum or a good dad? What kind of words describe what makes a good mum or a good dad? Have a think. If you've got one, put your hand up. Yeah, Esther. They're loving. Yes. Toby. They're kind. Yes. Anyone over here? No, don't know. Yes, Isaac. If they trust in Jesus, brilliant, Vasti. They're caring. Yeah, yeah.
They can sometimes be annoying.
Can't say that. Shh. Yeah, Clara? Oh, you can't remember. That's fine. But kind and caring and look after you and make sure that you get up in the morning and get ready for school. And when you're sick, they'll look after you. Now, if we were to put all of those words together and come up with one really big, long word, it might be something like this. A word called commitment. Commitment. Can we say that together on three? One, two, three. Okay, let's try that again on three. One, two, three. Commitment. Commitment. Now, you may be thinking, what does that mean? That's a great big long word. Well, commitment means that you make a promise, and no matter what happens, you stick to that promise. You make sure that you see it through, that you are faithful to your promise. You have commitment. So your mom and dad, when you were born, made a commitment that they were going to look after you. They made a promise that they were going to stick by, that they were going to be kind to you and loving. They were going to look after you when they were sick. They were going to make sure you got up for school. And even when you were naughty, they were going to give you into trouble, because that's for your good. Your mum and dad every single day show you commitment. Wow. Now, they're not perfect, your mum and dad, I know that. They don't always get it right. But every day they show you commitment. I'll put that up in my bold so we don't forget it. Now, there's another way that we can think of commitment. I brought my tape measure to show you. Can I have a volunteer? Who'd like to volunteer? Ollie, yeah, you can come out. Come on, Ollie. Okay, next time we'll use the stairs, okay? No worries. Now, you hold that end. Great, and I'll walk all the way over here. Okay, I'll keep... Oh, here we go. Now, I've reached the end of my tape measure. Nice and tight, Ollie, okay? I've reached the end of my tape measure, and it says 10 feet, okay? Now, my tape measure makes a commitment to me. It makes a promise that this is an accurate measurement of 10 feet. Every time I use my tape measure, it makes a commitment to measuring stuff. So, Ollie, if we want to measure the board, let's measure the board, shall we? Okay, you hold your end. Oh, there you go. My measuring tape, okay, at the end. Brilliant. My measuring tape makes a commitment that this is 5 feet, okay? If we want to measure the door, let's measure the door, Ollie. We'll go across the way. Okay? That is just over 3 feet. If I want to measure the height of Ollie here, my measuring tape says he's just over 4 feet. My measuring tape makes a promise, a commitment to me that it will measure accurately. Thanks, Ollie. You can go take your seat. Brilliant. Well done. My measuring tape can be trusted to carry out its job. It is committed to measuring stuff. Now, is my measuring tape committed to hammering in nails? No. Whose job is that? Yeah. A builder. It's a hammer's job, isn't it? Yeah. Is my measuring tape committed to screwing in screws? No. That's a screwdriver's job. Is my measuring tape committed to playing Xbox? No. That's a teenage boy's job. My measuring tape makes me one commitment, one promise, that it will measure stuff accurately. And I can trust that promise. I want to tell you something really, really important today. God, every single day, shows us commitment. He's made a solemn promise that if we are Christians, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've accepted him as our Savior, he's made a solemn promise that he will stick by us, that he will always be at work for our good. Every single day, God shows us commitment. What does he show us? Commitment. And think about God. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. When he says that something is true, it is true. He never lies. He never tells half-truths. He always is committed to what he said. His promise is good to us. Think how committed God is to sinful people like me. Think of the Lord Jesus. Think of the commitment that he showed. He came from heaven right down to this earth. He became a human being. And what did he do? He died on a cross for my sins, taking the punishment I deserve. What commitment the Lord Jesus shows to us. And if I ever want to understand what that word commitment means, I just have to think of the Lord Jesus, who shows me commitment. And let me tell you something else that is wonderful. When we trust in the Lord Jesus, when we accept him as our Savior, he does a miracle in our hearts. You see, not only does he forgive us, but he gives us the Holy Spirit. And amazingly, the Lord Jesus makes us committed to him. The Lord Jesus works in our heart and changes us. And we start to show commitment to Jesus. We start to put him first. We put his interests above our own. We want to do what he does. We want to hate the things that he does, and we want to love the things that he loves. The Lord Jesus changes us, and we start to show commitment to him. What does it look like in our lives? Well, today I want to tell you about a man who was from Greece, okay? Here's his name. Here he is. He's a man called Epaphroditus. Epaphro what now? He's called Epaphroditus. Isn't he a cool-looking guy? Isn't he a cool-looking guy? Do you think if I grew a beard and got nice, cool glasses, I'd look like that? A little bit. But Epaphroditus, that's who we're going to learn about today. He was from a town called Philippi in Greece. He was a really, really committed man. He showed great commitment to the Lord Jesus. He was a great friend of the Apostle Paul, who I've also got to show you a picture of. Here's Paul. And if we were to ask Paul, the Apostle Paul, what is commitment to the Lord Jesus? What does that look like? He would say to us, be like Epaphroditus. Now, we've got to practice his name because we're going to say it a lot, okay? Epaphroditus. We'll try on three. This side, one, two, three.
Epaphroditus.
Okay, this section, one, two, three.
Epaphroditus.
Okay, together, one, two, three.
Epaphroditus.
This section.
Epaphroditus.
You've got it, no bother. And over here, one, two, three.
Epaphroditus.
Everyone together, what's his name?
Epaphroditus.
Excellent. And if we want to know what commitment to the Lord Jesus looks like, Paul would say to us today, be like Epaphroditus. Be like Epaphroditus. Now, let me tell you why. Now, as I said, Epaphroditus was from a town called Philippi in Greece, over here. Now, Philippi was the first town in all of Europe the Apostle Paul went to and told people about the Lord Jesus. And some people in that town believed in the message. When they heard that the Lord Jesus was crucified to deal with people's sins, some people trusted. And Paul and the other new Christians in that place set up a brand spanking new church. At some point, Epaphroditus heard the message and became a Christian as well. He received the forgiveness of his sins, and Jesus did that miracle in his heart where he started to show commitment to Jesus. Now, a short while later, Paul left Philippi. He said, there are loads of other places that need to hear about the Lord Jesus, so I'm going to go and I'm going to tell other towns and cities. I'm going to tell them the good news of Jesus. And eventually, Paul ended up in a city called Rome. Now, there was some bad news. You see, Paul ended up in prison for telling people about Jesus. Here's Paul over here in Rome. It was miles away from Philippi. And in prison, in those days, the guards didn't bring you any food. If you wanted a meal, if you wanted your lunch or your tea, friends and family had to go and buy that food and bring it to you. Paul was completely relying on his friends and his family to bring him food. Now, when the church over in Philippi heard that Paul was in prison, how do you think they felt? How do you think? Yeah. I'm sure they were pretty sad. But here's what they did. Because they wanted to show commitment to the Lord Jesus and his servant Paul, they said, here's what I think we should do. We'll all try and give a little bit of money and we'll send it to Paul. And that's what we'll do. So that's what the church did. They got the offering bag. And they went around and said, can you give any? Can you give? No? No, you don't want it? That's fine. And do you want to help Paul? And that's, does anyone want to? Yeah. And they passed it round and they went round everyone. Oh, wait, hey, it's Eddie. And they passed it round. And if you get anything you can give? And at the end, what they found was that they had some money. Who put that in there? They had some money. And then they said, well, we're miles away from Rome. How are we going to get the money to Paul? And Epaphroditus said, I'll go. I'll take it. And they said, are you sure? It's miles away. And he said, no, I'll go. I want to show that I'm committed to the Lord Jesus, that I want to put his ways first, his interests. I want to put what he wants above what I want, so I'll go. And Epaphroditus went. Do you know the journey would have taken Epaphroditus 6 weeks to get there? And he would have to have walked most of the way. And he had to make sure that he wasn't robbed or the money didn't accidentally fall out of his pocket. And we're told that the journey was so hard for Epaphroditus that he fell sick on the way and he nearly died. But he wanted to show Paul that he was committed to the Lord Jesus. He wanted the Lord Jesus to know that he really was committed to him. So he went. How do you think Paul felt when Epaphroditus arrived? Yeah. Relieved? Yeah, anything else? How do you think he was happy? Yeah, pretty happy. Pretty over the moon. Suddenly, he's going to get some food tonight. He can buy food. He can buy pens and pencils so that he can keep on writing books of the New Testament. It was amazing. Paul was so happy when Epaphroditus arrived and with the money from his friends in Philippi. And if we were to ask Paul, what does commitment to the Lord Jesus look like? I'm sure he would say to us, be like Epaphroditus, who made that long journey, who almost died, who was willing to go, who was willing to put Jesus first before anything he wanted to do so that he could help Paul. Now, Paul wrote back to the church in Philippi to thank them for the money that they'd sent. And he also wrote to them and described the commitment of Epaphroditus. And here's how he described the commitment of Epaphroditus. He does it in 3 ways. Number one, he said Epaphroditus, his commitment was shown to the Lord Jesus because he was like a brother to me. He was like a brother to me. Who's got an older brother or an older sister? Who's got a younger brother or younger sister? Who doesn't have any brothers or sisters? Lucky you. No, it's fine. When I was younger, my older brother and I didn't always get on. That's putting it mildly. But as we got older, we became really, really good friends. And in fact, on the day he got married, he said to me, Doogie, will you stand beside me at the ceremony as the best man? And so I did. And just before the service, he gave me a present of this Bible. Now, I won't tell you what's written on it exactly because I don't want you to start crying. But it says something like this, to Doogie, my brother, thanks for standing by my side all these years. With much love, David. That's my older brother. Paul and Epaphroditus weren't brothers in the sense that they had the same mom, but they were brothers because they trusted the same Lord Jesus. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus, we become part of a massive family. We get a whole bunch of new brothers and sisters. who also believe what we do. And the Bible says that we are supposed to stand side by side with them, like Paul and Epaphroditus. You see, Epaphroditus was willing to go all the way to Rome, even though Paul was in prison, and people might have thought, why would you want to be friends with that man? And Epaphroditus said, no, he's a believer in the Lord Jesus. He's a brother to me. And if we want to show commitment to the Lord Jesus, we have to show commitment to his people. Epaphroditus showed lots of commitment to get to Paul. And he showed lots of commitment to stay with Paul and look after his needs. And if we want to know what commitment to the Lord Jesus looks like, we have to be like a brother or a sister and stand side by side other Christians. Every term, you guys give money to something like it called the Treasure Hunters Missionary Project. You do that, don't you? THMP, yeah? And you give maybe a little bit of money to buy Bibles or money that is sent to other countries so that boys and girls can hear about the Lord Jesus. You know, that is being like Epaphroditus. That is being a brother or a sister to other Christians. And so if we want to know what commitment to Jesus looks like, who do we need to be like? Who do we need to be like? Brilliant. So Paul says, Epaphroditus, he's committed to the Lord Jesus. He's like a brother. But he also calls him something else. He calls him a fellow worker. Now that's an odd title, a fellow worker. A few weeks ago, we looked at this sign. Now, it doesn't mean a man putting up an umbrella. Does anyone remember what it means? Yeah. There are roadworks. There are men working in the roads. Now, if I were to pick up this spade, if I was one of those men working in the road, digging holes, and say Ewan came to join me, come up here, Ewan. And Ewan also grabbed a shovel and started digging holes. Ewan would be my fellow worker. He would help me do my job. Thank you, Ewan. You can go and have a seat. Paul calls Epaphroditus his fellow worker. He says, Epaphroditus, he's committed to the Lord Jesus. He's a fellow worker. Now, Paul and Epaphroditus, they weren't digging holes in the road. They were telling people about the Lord Jesus. They were making sure that that message about Jesus coming and dying on a cross and rose again 3 days later, they made sure that as many people as possible could hear that message. And Epaphroditus helped Paul and looked after him and made him his tea and welcomed his friends and made sure he had anything he needed. Epaphroditus was willing to do anything to help Paul. And in doing that, he showed his commitment to the Lord Jesus. You know, if we want to be like Epaphroditus, if we want to show commitment to the Lord Jesus, then we need to be fellow workers as well. Not digging holes in the road, but by being involved in the hard work of telling our friends and our family about the Lord Jesus. You know, one way that you can do that this week, one really easy way, is by saying to a friend, would you like to come to Treasure Hunters on Sunday? Would you like to come to Bright Sparks or Whiz Kids? Would you like to come with me to the club at church and hear about the Lord Jesus? And in that way, you can be a fellow worker. You can be like Epaphroditus, who was committed to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's one other term that Paul uses to describe the commitment of Epaphroditus, and it's this. He calls him a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier. He's not just a fellow worker, but he's a fellow soldier. Now, that's an odd term to describe a Christian. But here's what I think it means. I've not got a picture of a soldier this time. I've got a picture of a grave. You see, when soldiers sign up to fight, they do that knowing that one day they might have to lay down their life. They might be killed. Epaphroditus, in his commitment to the Lord Jesus, was willing to die for the Lord Jesus. In fact, in bringing the money from Philippi to Rome and getting sick on the way, he showed that he nearly did die in his commitment to the Lord Jesus. And Paul says to Christians, be like Epaphroditus. Be willing to lay down your life for the Lord Jesus. That's what commitment really looks like. Now you might be saying, how could Epaphroditus be like this? How could he show that commitment to the Lord Jesus? How could he be a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier? Well, let me tell you how. You see, he was following the example of the Lord Jesus himself. You see, the Lord Jesus was in heaven, remember? And he came to this earth. He became a man, even though he was God. He became like a brother human being to each one of us. Think of the work that the Lord Jesus had to do. He knew we were in trouble, that we had sinned against God. He knew all of our faults, that we had done wrong and we deserved to be punished for them. And the Lord Jesus was a worker like no other. He died on a cross to give us eternal life. And he rose again to show us that we really can be forgiven. Was the Lord Jesus willing to lay down his life like a soldier? Yes, he did lay down his life to show us that God wants to have a relationship with us, to save all of those who would trust in him. If we want to know what commitment to the Lord Jesus looks like, who do we need to be like? Who do we need to be like? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, be like Epaphroditus, a brother or a sister, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. But if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you haven't ever asked him to be your savior, you also need to be like Epaphroditus. You see, first of all, you need to become a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus. You have to admit that you have sinned, that you have turned against God, and you need the Lord Jesus to rescue you. And when you do that, you come into a brand new family with lots of brothers and sisters. And you start and begin in the work of telling people about the Lord Jesus. And you become so committed to him that you're willing to lay down your life. And it's all with his help. One last time, together, everyone. Who do we need to be like today?
Epaphroditus.
Let's pray.